This morning we're going to take a look at one of the riches of God's grace. That's our theme for 2012, the riches of God's grace. The believer has been given over 30 blessings. Some will say 32, some 33, some 35. I'll just say you've been given over 30 blessings instantly upon salvation. Riches of God's grace. Things you receive immediately upon being saved. Some examples: you have peace with God, you have access to God in prayer, you're justified before God, and the list goes on and on and on. Well, today our subject will be delivered from all evil. If you're saved here this morning, you have been delivered from all evil. You're not waiting to be delivered, you're not hoping to be delivered. God has already delivered you from all evil. To be delivered means to be taken out or to be set free from something. How many of you ever had to be delivered from something? You know, we don't think about it in those terms necessarily, but we may need to be delivered from financial burdens. You may accumulate loans through school or other places and you need some help. Someone comes along, is able to help you out, and you're delivered from a financial burden. Sometimes we have to be delivered from physical hardships. I think of children with this. You know, if you have children or if you grew up with a brother or sister, you know what I may be referring to here. You begin to wrestle and one gets a hold of the other, and next thing you know, mom or dad has to come by and say, let them go. They've been delivered. Maybe not from all evil, depending on their brother or sister. They may think it's from all evil, but they've been delivered from that physical hardship. Sometimes we have to be delivered from a mistake or a problem. How many of you ever begin a project only to find out that you didn't plan on the cost, or perhaps you didn't realize that you could not fix it yourself and you had to give someone a call? Maybe your friend. Say, hey, you know, I need help with my car. You know, I began to look at it and I thought I could fix it, but I can't. So you give a friend a call who may know a little bit more about the engine or be able to come over and help you out. And they deliver you from your problem. They help you out. This morning, I want to talk about the fact that Jesus Christ has delivered the believer from all evil. He's taken us out of all evil. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. This is where we're going to find our text this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 says, and again I will put my trust in Him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. Now this is speaking of Jesus. He says, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Dear Lord, we come to You in prayer this morning, asking that You will open up our eyes to Your Word. And this morning, if there is anyone here who is lost, if they never put their faith in You and trusted You for salvation, I pray today that You'll open their spiritual eyes and that they'll see their need to be saved. And for those that are saved, I pray today this passage will be an encouragement to us, a reminder to us how much You love us, how much You care for us, and all that You did so we could be saved. Please guide and direct in this message. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning. Three thoughts from this passage concerning Jesus Christ delivering us from all evil. First, I want you to notice that Jesus became a man in order to die for mankind. That was required. He had to become a man in order to die for mankind. And we find that mentioned in verse 14. He says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. You see, Jesus Christ understood our hopeless condition. Our hopeless condition. We find our hopeless condition mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 5. I'll turn over there and read it to you real quick this morning. Romans chapter 5. And we find in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, our hopeless condition this morning is because of sin. You know, we go back to our passage in Hebrews chapter 2, and we've read verses 13 and 14. You know, at the end of verse 14, it says there, in verse 15, it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This morning, I want you to notice that Jesus Christ understood that we were subject, basically here, to the fear of death and to bondage for our entire life. You see, that was our hopeless condition. Now death, you think about being subject to the fear of death. Death exists because of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And today, death is dreaded. I'm not going to stay on this subject too long. This is a discouraging subject, but we must understand it. Death is dreaded. And remember, here's what we also need to remember. Death was never intended for man. When God created Adam and Eve, He didn't create them so they would die or that they would ever die. He created them in a perfect, way, and they were able to live forever. But because of sin, death entered in. And so death is now here because of sin. And so we're subject to the fear of death because of the sin in this world and because death is there. We're also, the Bible tells us, subject to bondage. Of course, I think of the bondage to the fear of death. Bondage to the fear of death. You know, this morning, people are working endlessly to prolong life. Now, we should be taking care of our bodies. We should be healthy and doing the best we can so we can live a life that we can live unto God. But you know, there are people today that are working endlessly to prolong life. Doing everything that they can in their might and their power so they can live as long as possible. Perhaps forever for some of them. You know, there are even some who have frozen their bodies. You know, they told their loved ones to freeze their bodies after they die so that way if they find a cure to what killed them, they hope that they can revive them, bring them back to life, cure them, and they can live. People are trying to live forever down here on earth because of the fear of death. They dread death. And they're subject to that, the bondage of that. Now, you think about the bondage to sin. We're also subject to the bondage of sin. Sin is dominating. It is. One sin leads to another. You know, you often hear, you tell one lie, and you have to tell another lie to get out of that lie, or to cover up that lie. Next thing you know, you may have to live a whole life of lies just to cover up one simple lie that you began with. Sin is like that. It's dominating. One sin leads to another. You know, an alcoholic never planned on being controlled by alcohol. They never set out for that. They never planned to have a life of misery because they couldn't control their ability to drink the alcohol. Same goes with drug addictions and other sins. People don't plan on those things. But sin is dominating. It sets in and it can control. Sin is also destructive. Turn with me, if you would, to James. Let's go over a book to the book of James. James chapter 1. And we'll see what it says about sin there. James 1. And verse 15, it says there, let's go back to verse 14, but every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Notice the end product of sin is death. That's what the Bible tells us. That's the end product. You know, the world today will try to present the appealing product of sin. You know, you watch the commercials sometimes in our world today, and I tell you, sinful products, they spend money, they get the best advertisers, the best marketers, and they make their product look appealing, whether it's alcohol or drugs or smoking, whatever it may be, they make their product look appealing. They don't show you the end product. They don't show you the final destination of an alcoholic or a drug addict. They don't show you that. They want to make it look appealing. I read where one man said, he goes, "They have a sin has a hook. Always look for the hook because there's a hook there." You know, the world may present sin to be appealing and fun and exciting, but there's a hook there. There's a catch. Be careful because once you get hooked, it's hard to get away or difficult to get away. And so that's what we find with sin. You know, men and women are born with a sinful nature. We're in bondage to sin. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says there that we're subject for a lifetime. I think you could say we're slaves from the day we're born till the day we die. We're slaves to sin. We have a sinful nature. We're slaves under a cruel master with no freedom. Slaves in despair with no hope. And see, that's why Jesus came, to deliver men and women from this terrible condition. So we don't have to live in sin. So we don't have to be controlled or under bondage of sin. And the Bible tells us, we read it there in Hebrews chapter 2, that He took on the form or the flesh and blood of mankind. Now that literally happened. This is just not a figure of speech. That took place. I believe Jesus Christ took on the form of a man, and He lived and suffered as a man. He was tired. He was hungry. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. He struggled from day to day underneath the burdens that men and women placed upon Him. You see, Jesus Christ lived as a man. You know, there was no other option available for man's redemption. How about the angels? Let's think on this. You know, the angels possessed the wrong nature. He couldn't become an angel to come die for men. Or he couldn't send an angel to die in our place. Angels are spiritual beings. They possess no physical bodies. And according to the scriptures, they don't die like men and women. They live and they continue to live. How about men today? Or women? We're sinners and we're filthy. This morning, there is no man or woman that can take your sin away from you. Because they themselves have sin that they got to deal with. There is no man or woman that can stand before God in your place. Because they have to stand before God themselves and give an account. There is no man or woman that can give you eternal life. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus came to deliver men from this terrible condition. Now let's look at the next two points. This is where we get the exciting, enjoyable part. But see, we need to understand that we're sinners. And we need a Savior. Here this morning, if you're sitting here this morning, perhaps the Holy Spirit has already worked in your heart. And you've come to the understanding that you are a sinner, never seeking God's forgiveness. That's the case. You need to get it settled. If you're here this morning, you're saved. This is just a reminder of where we've come from. So we don't get big heads and think we've accomplished something. We need to remember that God has saved us from a terrible condition and He's given us new life. And that leads us to our second thought here this morning. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, and we go back to verse 13 or verse 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death will all their lifetime subject to bondage." The second thought I give to you this morning is Jesus became a man in order to defeat death. You know, when he came down from heaven, he knew everything that he was going to do. He knew that he would lay his life down on the cross. He knew that he'd be killed. But that was part of his plan. Part of his plan to defeat death. Now you think about death. We've talked about death a little bit and sin. You know, death has reigned in this world since Adam. It still reigns today. Cemeteries and newspaper pages are a testimony to this. Death has caused nothing but fear and trembling. Because death is real. Because death is seen as final by many. Because death does not play favorites. You know, you read the obituary pages. The ages are scattered through there. There's no favorites played when it comes to death. And because death is waiting for each and every one of us. Because we've all sinned. I believe everyone is dreading death, or men and women dread death because of the darkness, the unknown, of what's going to take place. And Jesus came to deliver from death and to deliver from the fear of death. He did this first by removing the cause. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What he did first is he removed the cause of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says there in verses 54 and 55, it says, verse 53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, for this immortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." Notice this, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We go back to where it says in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting?" And verse 56, "The sting of death is sin." You see, what Jesus Christ did first is he removed the sting of death. He removed the cause of death. You know, if you go to a doctor because you have an infection, they don't just put a Band-Aid on you and send you home. They give you medicine to remove the infection. If that infection is not removed, it's going to remain there. It's going to become worse, and it can become fatal. But once that infection is removed out of your body, through antibiotics, or if it's really bad, through surgery, then you're able to move forward and move on without that infection. See, it has to be removed. Sin is the same. Jesus Christ had to remove sin. He had to remove it. And so what he did, the Bible tells us, that he first off lived a perfect life in accordance to the law. He died on the cross and he paid the price for sin. And then he arose 3 days later victorious over death. Basically what Jesus Christ did is he laid his life down in place of the sinner as an atonement. a perfect life in place of the sinful life that we had. So that way we could be saved. And according to Revelation verse 1:18, he says that he conquered death and the grave. He conquered it. He is victorious over death and the grave. He beat it. He crushed it. Annihilated it. Whatever word you want to use to describe it, that's what Jesus Christ did to death. And it's gone. He is the victor and he stands over death as the winner. And because of this, he has provided a new life to those that believe. You know, in Galatians 2, verse 20, if you're taking notes, I'll just read it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, this is Paul. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You think on this, he lives in Christ. See, Paul understood that Jesus Christ provided a new life. And that because he was saved, he lived or partook in that new life as well. This morning, the believer, anyone that has trusted in Christ as their Savior and they're saved, the believer is given a new life in Christ. And they are also given eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the believer has been given an everlasting life, eternal life. And the believer, I think, upon physical death, will be brought into a world where death is unknown. Think about that for a minute. We still have to die because we are in our physical body. See, God didn't remove our physical bodies yet. God says we will receive an incorruptible body someday in eternity. But when our physical body dies, when it gives out, when it's finished, when it's over, the Bible says we will be ushered in or entered into a world where there is no death. Eternal life. Presence with God. To live with Him forever. You see, that's where the dread of death has been removed for the believer. Because we have a future with God. Death is not the end, or death is not the beginning of eternal death, but it's the beginning of life for the believer. So the believer has nothing to fear concerning death. The fear of death has been removed and has been replaced with life in Christ. I want to turn with me, if you would, to Colossians 1, or you can just write this down as I read it real quick. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, because of Jesus Christ, it says there we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed. That means we're bought with a price. We are forgiven. And according to the verse 13, we are now in the kingdom of his dear Son. We have a new life. We're secure with God. That's eternal life. You see, we've been delivered out of the bondage of sin, delivered out of the bondage of the fear of death, and brought into a new relationship with God. You see, Jesus has delivered the believer from the fear of death. Now, our third thought here this morning, if you go back to our passage, Hebrews chapter 2, we'll just read at the end of verse 14. He says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The third thought I'll give to you this morning is Jesus became a man in order to defeat the devil. Now, he didn't have to do this. What I mean by that is he had the power to defeat the devil just as he was. He could have defeated the devil, thrown him into the lake of fire, ended everything. But we would have been stuck, so to speak. We wouldn't have been delivered. We'd have been stuck with our sins. And so Jesus came down to die on the cross, but also to defeat the devil in our place. You see, he successfully resisted all of the devil's temptations. I think of Matthew chapter 4. You turn there, if you will. This morning we're not going to turn there, but Matthew 4, verses 3 through 11, we're given the account of the devil tempting Jesus. And I believe the devil threw everything he had at Jesus. Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, was hungry, was tired. Remember, he had the physical body of a man. And the devil went out there and threw every temptation he could at him. I believe it was probably the greatest spiritual battle that this world has ever seen. The devil, you can be sure, wanted to get him to fall. Wanted to get him to make a mistake as he took on the form of a man. And the Bible tells us that Jesus not only overcame, but he overcame with the Word of God. And he overcame the temptations, and the devil, the Bible says, fled. He left from him. And he got away. You see, Jesus resisted those temptations. I think back to Adam. It was just one temptation with Adam and Eve, and they fell. Jesus was victorious where Adam failed. Jesus was victorious where we often fail, giving into temptation, giving into sin. You see, he overcame the devil, and he didn't fall into those temptations. He didn't give into the wicked direction of the devil, but he defeated him. The second place he defeated him, I believe, was on the cross. And you can be sure the devil was there that day. I'm sure he was watching. I'm sure he was active. I'm sure he was playing his part. And Jesus, I believe, defeated him on the cross. Now, this victory occurred at the end of his public ministry. It occurred during the 3 hours of darkness. The Bible tells us that darkness came over the entire land, the entire world. I believe it was a time where Jesus was hanging between God and down below, between earth. There upon the cross, the Bible says he took our sin upon him, and there I believe he defeated the devil. He conquered the murderer of mankind. He took our sin upon him, and he paid the price, and he publicly conquered the devil and his evil spirits. The reason why I say publicly, because 3 days later he would rise from the grave and make himself known. You see, the devil was humiliated before the world, when you stop and think about it. Have you ever been humiliated and embarrassed? That's what happened to the devil during that time. Jesus Christ came down, defeated him, conquered him, and took what the devil once had, and that's the power of death and the grave. You see, he stripped the devil of his power. He stripped the devil of his authority. The devil possessed the power of death. That's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, and had the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil had the power of death. Now, think about this. The devil's the one who, I guess you could say, introduced sin to this world. We go back to Genesis, you have Adam and Eve, and the devil's the one who went and enticed them. And he's the one who seduced them and got them away from God so that they would follow after him and his temptation. And so he's behind that sin. And from that point on, the devil has reigned over mankind because of sin. And death is part of his dominion. You know, today people often say, well, why is there so much evil in this world? I'll tell you why. Because death, because the devil, because of sin that has come into this world and that is still here today. That's why there is so much evil. That's why there is so much wickedness in this world, because there's sin here. And the devil, I guess you could say, reigns over this world as far as walks and works in this world today. But the devil had to be defeated for us to have life. Now, of course, we know in the book of Revelation, he will face his ultimate defeat at the hands of God and be cast into the lake of fire by one angel. We'll put him in there, and God will later cast him away. And so we know he will receive or face his ultimate defeat. But he has lost the power of death, is what happened, because Jesus Christ delivered us from that power. You know, this morning, Jesus Christ has plucked the believers out of the devil's hands, and today he holds them safely in his hands. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. That's what we find in the book of John when Jesus was teaching his disciples. It says there in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This morning, if you are saved, God has delivered you from all evil. Jesus has delivered you from death. Jesus has delivered you from the power of the devil. Basically, Jesus has taken you out of the hands of the devil. You were once in sin, in bondage, controlled by the devil, directed by the devil, and Jesus came over and plucked you out, and over here put you in his hand and his Father's hand. Now think about it. You have Jesus holding you, and then you have God the Father also holding you. Nobody's taking you away from them. You're secure. You're safe because you belong to God. You see, that's one of the riches of God's grace. We have been delivered from all evil, taken out, set free, so that way we can live with God and live for God. Jesus has delivered the believer from the power of the devil, from the death that the devil controls. You know, in closing this morning, Jesus Christ has delivered us from all evil. All of it. Right now. Now, yes, we have sin that is around us, of course, and we are tempted to sin. But Jesus has delivered us from the penalty of sin. You see, for the Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. If you're saved here this morning, think of the second part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have placed your faith in Christ, if you have accepted that gift of salvation, then Jesus has taken or delivered you from death, from the penalty of death. Also, Jesus has taken and delivered you from the power of the devil. I believe we can live unto God. Oh yeah, we're going to be tempted. Yes, there might be some spiritual battles. There may be some difficult decisions. There may be some trials and some hardships we have to face. But with God's power, because we have a new life, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and because of Jesus Christ, we can do all things, we can now live unto God. There's no excuse for a believer not to live unto God. We should be living unto the Lord, walking with God and separating from the world, because we've been taken out of the world spiritually. And we were able to now live unto God. So if you're saved here this morning, you have been delivered. God has taken you away from all evil. It's a settled matter. There's nothing else waiting to have to take place. God does not have to finish payment on the sin. It's already finished. It's already done. And you are delivered, set free. This morning, if you're here and if you never placed your faith in Christ, perhaps there's one here that has never trusted in Christ. This may sound like a harsh words, but I believe it's the truth from the Bible. This blessing of deliverance is not yours. You cannot claim it. It doesn't belong to you. Because only those that have placed their faith in Christ that belong to God the Father have been delivered from all evil. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're still over there. I guess in the devil's hand, so to speak. You're still under bondage of sin and the fear of death. The Bible teaches you're still there. And so this morning, that's the importance of trusting in Christ. Because this blessing is not yours, but it can be. The gift of God is there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here this morning, and if the Holy Spirit has impressed upon your heart the need, if you've just come to the understanding that, hey, I'm not saved. I've been in church. I know what to do. I just never placed my faith in Christ. I've never sought God's forgiveness. And I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior. You see, sometimes what happens is we have it up here. We know it. We know exactly what we need to do. But we never have it in our heart. We never place the faith in Christ. This morning, I want to encourage you just to examine your hearts this morning. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you have trusted in Christ. Because if you have not, then you can. You can trust in Christ this morning, and you can be delivered from all evil. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for those that have come out this morning, and I pray as we have this time of invitation, if there is someone here this morning that is not saved, I pray today they'll get that settled with you. And Lord, I thank you. I just thank you for your salvation. I thank you for saving our souls. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for delivering me from sin and from the devil. And Lord, we're just thankful for all that you've done for us. Please bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a few minutes. This is just a time of invitation. I encourage you, if God has worked in your heart in any way, this is a time you can seek Him out in prayer. You can come down to the altars here, seek God out in prayer, or you can pray to Him right where you are.